Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Vav. We're starting at the Mishnah at the top of the Yomid. Look at the Mishnah. Ha koyisiv nechosav lebonav. A person who wants to go and write his nechosim for his children, and he wants to make sure that those children get it after he passes away, he cannot simply write in the shtar, I'm giving you, my children, these nechosim, la'achar misa, because in shtar the achar misa. So what he has to write in the shtar is tzorch sheyichtoiv mehayoyim uli achar misa. Dibir Rabbi Yehuda. Make sure you write mehayoyim, because since the person who's giving away these nechosim to his children is alive and kicking, so therefore he's allowed to go and give it mehayoyim, and therefore it will help mehayoyim uli achar misa. Now, one second, please. Give me a chance after I breathe, and then you'll ask. So now, theoretically, if he's giving it to his children, he didn't have to write out anything, because we know min ha-Torah, the bonim get anyway. However, the main reason in our case that he wanted to go and write it now, b'Torah's matana, instead of waiting until Yerusha, says Rejbam, is because he had pre-existing children and now he's getting married to a second wife. And what he's afraid is that if and when this marriage terminates, either because he passes away or he gives her a get, this wife is going to want to get her ksuba. And what happens if there's no mo'is at that time? There's no money to pay the ksuba. And she's going to want to get from nechasim mishubadim. So what nechasim mishubadim does he have? He has earlier nechasim that he got from his earlier time in life, perhaps from his wife, from his first wife. And he wants that those nechasim stay with the children from that first wife. You could talk about even today a situation where a person was, Baruch Hashem, happily married for 50 years, he has a whole bunch of children, and now unfortunately his wife passed away, or whatever the circumstances, and now he's already 85 years old, and he has a zivik sheni, and what happens now is he may pass away in a year or two or three or four, and she's going to want to go and get her ksuba, and there's no cash in the bank, so to speak, then she'd be able to go and latch on to nechosim that were destined to be for his first children. He doesn't want his children from his first wife to be negatively affected. So therefore what he does is he conveys those nechosim to them already now, mehayoyim, and he doesn't want the children to go and take it away because he wants the income from those nechosim. And so therefore when he says mehayoyim al-acha misa, what happens is the children get it mehayoyim in terms of the guf hakarka and the guf hanechosim, but the income stream, the payrois, he continues to go and receive as long as he is alive. When he passes away, then not only will they have the guf, but they'll also have the payrois. Let's take a quick look at the first Rishbam, and then we'll open up the floor for numerous questions. Zuk to Mishnah, Zuk to Rishbam. The Rishbam is about 15 lines from the top of the Yomid. Hakoyis and Nechos Levanov. Bori, he's Baruch Hashem Gizunt. Shiroi Talisa Isha, he's about to get married to a new wife. He doesn't want that the pre-existing nechosim should have now a lien on them for his new wife. Because he's afraid that ultimately what may happen is that his children from the first marriage, who are quote-unquote looking forward eventually to the estate of their father, they may not get it if she'll be able to go and ruin it, so to speak, penyafsidu, because of her ksuba. So he wants that his nechosim should go to them after his passing, not to her. But he wants to continue having the income from these payers as long as he's alive, because after all, he needs an income stream. Therefore, he has to go and write the magic words, mihayoyim uliachar misa. What do these words mean? Children, kindlech, all of these nechosim, all of these properties belong to you already now in terms of the guf, but really you don't have it an hanoah now because all of the payers, all the income is going to come to me. After the person's passing, they nigmeris hamatana. At that time, the matana will finally be completed. Shetoichel gam haperis. Then you'll be able to get the payers as well. Avol, says Rishbam, avoloi mehayoyim. What happens if he just writes in the document, children, you're going to go and get these nechosim li'achar misa, then this document is not valid. The ein matana li achar misa. The bahishata ein lechelik behen shiuchalak noisin. At that time, he's already in the oilam ha'emes. He's there in the Beis Din Elyon up in Shemayim, where they're going to be done. What did he do right? What did he do wrong? Where is he going to go? Which besmedish is he going to learn in? Which part of Gan Eden is he going to go in? And therefore, at that time, he won't be able to go and convey any nechasim. So if you would only write the words that these nechasim are going to be yours, kindalach li'achamisa, that would not work. Because me'in matan l'achamisa. Therefore, he has to say, m'hayyoyim l'achamisa. So then they're going to be coined in the nechasim in terms of the guf already from today. And the completion of the matan in terms of getting the income stream that will flow after he passes away. What has he accomplished with all of this? What he's accomplished is he has now insulated these nechasim so that his new wife, that Zivik Sheni, will not be able to collect her ksuba from them, because that he wants to be dedicated and devoted to his children from the first marriage.
Doesn't that subvert the power of the ksuba?
Yeah, what's the point of writing a ksuba?
If you basically insulated and segregated the assets so that the ksuba can't attach to it, you've basically undermined the power of that ksuba.
If you go and write a matana to anybody of all your nechasim, so that ba'achar mei v'esrim, there's nothing left in the estate, is that something permissible?
Entirely, but
why aren't you subverting the hilchis nachla in the Torah that it says that you have to go and give all your nachla to your boys, and if there are no boys, you give it to your daughters, and no daughters, you have to give it to your father, etc.
So it's different than regular matana, because
in that,
she should be lighting his mind to divorce her, and she should be incentivized to get married.
So then she will have to look at the financial situation at the time and decide whether or not it's worthwhile for her to get married based on the assumption that there will be enough money in the estate. But in the likely or unlikely event that there are none, then she will not be able to attach early nechasim, she'll be able to attach new nechasim.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be that he's writing all of his nechasim away, it could be he's giving away 50%, 75%, don't say kois kol nechasim. But these particular nechasim he's giving to the children, he knows are bulletproof, they'll belong to them, and will not be available for
her. Sounds like there's a high probability that this wife's going to get shafted.
I wouldn't say a high probability.
It's like a prenup, basically.
Yeah, exactly. They're making up. I mean, after all, Zivik Sheni is when he's already 80 and 90, etc. Exactly, certain properties he's protecting, and other properties will be available.
In the same way, he can designate a property for Ksuva to the detriment of his children and daughters who want to get married and everything, because
she's got a reputation of being a gold digger. And
make sure that again, the Mishnah is not recommending it. It says that this is a legal way of protecting the property for the first children, and so that they should, Yetzer Hashem, have a nice estate. And his wife, it doesn't say he didn't put away anything for her. Other nechasim will be available to her, but those nechasim will have the shibud, but not the other nechasim that he's giving mayyom al achamisa.
Mayyom al achamisa means that it's from today. If it was Zion Cheshvan and he dies, you know, whenever it was, it sounds like that it's retroactive to Zion.
Exactly.
It's not only retroactive. It's not retroactive. It's given now. Today on Zayin Cheshvan, he gives me Yom Lachamisa. It's as if he goes.
Why does he have to repay to the children the payrolls? He's using his payrolls.
But he's dead.
So what our Mishnah is being machadesh is that you can go and do. Gemara referred to this a couple of days ago. Palginin dibura. It's not a palginin dibura. It's palginin of the assets. You can split up the title to the assets and the income from the assets.
He doesn't say that I'm retaining.
That's what Hayom Lachamisa means, says Rishbam. Tachshitim Hayom Lachamisa, Demashim Hayom Yeirkon Elecho Haguf Levadoi. Today, you're getting only the title, and therefore we have to go into the real estate office and change the title on the registry. It no longer belongs to Mr. Smith, it belongs now to Smith, Smith, and Smith, all the kids. Lachamisa take nigmeris amaton, and then it's going to be completed. It's not that it works retroactively, it works from today.
You're reading a lot into that language.
That's the Rashbam.
And the Rashbam is reading a lot into the language.
You'll see where the Rashbam takes it from, Yetchim. We're going to have this in the Gemara. Since I see this is really bothering you, if you see where it says Gemara in the Gemara, which is the third wide line, Now skip three lines. Hachi ka'amalei. See the beginning of the line. Scoop for Konimehayoim, you get the goof from today, yeah, and the pay of the Achamis, and you're going to get the income stream subsequently.
That's okay.
That's okay. No, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, that is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says, Einoi Tzorech. You don't have to word, you don't have to add the word Mehayoim. You can simply say in the Shtar, Uli Acher Misa. I want these. The chosim to be koined to the children achamisa. That's a groisa pella because ain't shtar la achamisa. So how does this matano work? And the Gemara is going to ask that question. And ultimately, the Gemara is going to say that Rabbi Yossi holds zmanoi shel shtar moichiach olav, which means since the shtar has a zman at the top, as you said, zayin mar cheshvan. Now, when this shtar is going to be probated. And it says in it, I'm giving my children the Acher Misa. We're going to combine this Manishal Shtar at the outset with the Acher Misa, and we're going to read that as Mehayoim Ula Acher Misa. We're going to see more about this in the Gemara shortly, so don't get too perturbed. Now, from here, Akoisin Chos of Lebnoi, we could continue learning that. However, you'll notice the Rishbam over here ends very, very suddenly, and in fact, the Pirish on the second part of the Mishnah is all the way in the bottom of the Omer. If you look at the bottom, so Rishbam apparently had a different setup than we have. Not that this was one Mishnah, but two Mishnahs. Since that Rishbam affects the further learning on the bottom of the Omer, with your kind permission, we'll stop here in the Mishnah, skip to the Gemara, and then when we get to that part, we'll go back to the Mishnah again. So it says the Gemara, third wide line. How does that help? If anything, doesn't that cause potential confusion? Where do we find this potential confusion? We learned. Where did we learn? We learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. If a person writes to his wife a normal, regular get, but he throws into the get the words that this get should be effective, Mehayoyim ula acher misa. So what does that mean? Is effective from today when the husband and the wife are both still alive, or does it mean it's going to be effective achamisa after he passes away?
You can't divorce the achamisa.
Exactly. So that thing more saying is the same thing over here. Well, let's first finish the Mishnah. Mayim al achamisa get the einoi get. Maybe it is a good get. Maybe it's takachal mehayoyim. It's good. Or maybe it's achamisa. It's not a good get. Since I have a suffix, the emes, if chas v'shalom, he passes away, choyletzes, she has to have a chalitza. In other words, if there are no children, and there are achim, they have to give a chalitza because maybe this get was not effective. If it wasn't effective, then he just died a natural death, meaning that the termination of his marriage was through misa, and therefore she falls liyimim. But she cannot do yibam. Why can't she do yibam? Because maybe the get was effective. And if the get was effective, you're not allowed to go marry Gerushas Ochiv. You cannot have that one of the brothers now marries the former sister-in-law, except under the situation of a bona fide yibam. But if this was Gerushas Ochiv, she was divorced, the other brothers are not allowed to go marry him. It's Eishesach when she's not Eishesach, but if the husband has died, it's only
Eishesach. But this might be Makam Yibam, it's a suffix.
Yeah. Okay, and the bottom line is, she has to have a chalitza, but she's not allowed to be Mesiyam. So what do I see from that? I see that this whole thing is murky, confusing, it's a suffix. So the same thing should apply over here too. When he says, did he mean Mehayoyim, and then it's effective? Or did he mean that this should be a conveyance of Matan al-Acher Misa? And just like you can't give a get l'Acher Misa, you can't give a Matan al-Acher Misa. So it should say in our Mishnah, Sofik, you're good and ish good. Everything you want to know, there's a basic difference between here and the get. Hosam, misapkalon itano have, ichazor have. Why would a person write into a shtar mayoyim ula achamisa? It could be it's a tanai. What means it's a tanai? I want this to be chal. You use the expression retroactively. I want it to be chal from today. If and when chas v'shalom I pass away, I don't want to go and have a get today. I like my wife, she likes me, we want to continue living happily ever after. But I'm concerned that chalila v'chas, I may pass away, rachmon litzlan, and then she's going to fall yimor lechalitza. I don't want her to have to go through that whole trauma. So therefore I'm putting in it tanai. It's going to be chal from today. La'achar misa, if and when, chas v'sholom, I pass away. If I pass away in a week from now, I pass away in a month from now, at that time I can't give a get. So it should be chal mehayay.
So are there any relations they have between...
The Gemara in Kedushin talks about that. What happens in between?
Since so it's a soldier going to war, he gives a conditional get.
So Masapka learned, so when you have the Loshan, maybe it's valid, and he means to say, like Me'achshav, but it should work retroactively. Or Ichazorahav. Or maybe when he's in the middle of writing the get, and he's sitting down with the Soifer, and the Soifer says to him, when do you want this get to be valid? I don't want to be valid from today. Well, I love my wife and she loves me and we want to continue living happily ever after. I'm just afraid. And it's da, da, da. So maybe it's a chazor. Maybe he's having now mid-term, mid-writing charata. And what he's saying is, no, I don't want it to be mayyan. I want it to be lachamis. It should be chal then. And if it's going to be chal then, it's going to be worthless.
He's not
giving her yet. We're writing it now.
Okay.
In the middle of writing it says, mayyan lachamis. I'm trying to understand what does this mean. After it was written and signed and sealed, it was given to the wife. A week later, he passed away. After the shiva, the wife wants to remarry. She goes to the bezin. Bezin says, "Show us the get." Oh, we see the get. It says meyom alach. That's strange. Meyom alach misa. Meyom doesn't mean that he went retroactively and therefore it was a good get. Or did he have charat over here and he meant to say, "No, I don't want it to be chal now. I want it to be chal alach misa." No, ain't get lacher misa. So because of this confusion, this suffix, get the inner get, it makes chalitz in the beps.
But if he gave it to him, doesn't
and we just finished, please, yeah, give a little bit of patience. Okay. Well, hoch, in our case, when we're talking about the, not the get, we're talking about a tzava, hochi kamalei. This is a totally valid way of conveying a conveyance. Gufa konimeyayim, I'm giving you the guf, the title, to this property from today, but I also need to live from now till the end of my lifetime. So Perilachamisa, I want to continue getting the income stream, Laachamisa, and then you're going to go and get the whole thing. Since by a guess you cannot go and cut it like that, it's got to be one or the other. Is it Tanai? Is it Chazara? I don't know. It's a suffix. But in here, you can easily cut it and say, every piece of property has two aspects to it, two financial interests. You have the guf and you have the income. Go forgive me ayayim, and the payer give you the achamisa. Since that's a valid formulation for the text of Ishtar, it works. Question.
The conveyance of the get, though, demonstrates that it was intended to be effective, because we have the whole machlokas, edi mesira karte, edi chasima karte, so we see that the giving of the get is demonstrates legal efficacy.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes, please.
Could I write a matana to you, and I write in the document that even though today is Vav Cheshvan, I want this matana only to be valid a year from now, and I give you the shtar right now. Do you get the matana now, or does it only become effective a year from now?
The conditions haven't transpired yet, so I don't get it.
You don't get it. So same thing with Gabi the get. He gives it right now, and yes, there's a picture and there's a video.
I see the giving of it is itself is pending, it's suspended.
If it's a Tanai, it's not going to be Chal now, it's only going to be Chal
then. Thank you for reminding us of that. Thank
no
you.
Problem. So that's all according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the Taich, that's the definition of the word Miyam al-Achamisa. Both of them are correct. I'm giving you Me'ayoy, the Guth, and I'm giving you the Achamisa, I'm giving you the income stream, and that works. Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's Arch, you don't need to. In other words, says Rishbam, all you have to write is Li'achar Misa, and that's enough. You don't need Mehayoyim. What? La'achar Misa? Ain't Shtar La'achar Misa. It shouldn't work. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Rabbi Yossi Oyma in a Tarach. So the Gemara tells us first a story. Rabbi Baravua Cholash. Rabbi Baravua, unfortunately, was not well. Ole Gabei Rav Huna V'Rav Nachman. Rav Huna Rav Nachman came to be Mevaker Cholim. Omalei Rav Huna Rav Nachman. As they are walking towards the home of Rabbi Baravua, Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman, could you do me, please, a big, big favor? I just learned this Mishnah, Machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, and I want to know, how do we paskin? Boy Minei, please, go and ask. Ask who? Rabbi Baravua, the person who's the Chola. Ask Aloch Rabbi Yosi. Hey, Aloch Rabbi Yosi, what is his view? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yosi or not? Omalei, Sir Rav Nachman answered back to Rav Huna, Tamid Rabbi Yosi L'Yadana. I don't understand where Rabbi Yosi is coming from. L'choy, it doesn't make any sense. You write in the shtar, it's going to be Chal Achar Misa, Ein Shtar L'Achar Misa. I don't know what's going on. Halachi Boimene, I'm going to ask him how the halacha is. I mean, even if he tells me the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, I still won't understand it. The thing is beyond my comprehension. Omalei, Rav Huna said back, Tima Toiva, Ad Boimene, you ask Rabba Baravo I Halacha Iloi. And after that is over, when we leave on the way home, and then I'll explain to you the underpinnings. Good. The explanation, where is Rabbi Yossi coming from? So first, let's find out what the halach is, and then I'll explain it. So he, Rav Nachman, dutifully listened to the request of Ravuna, and he asked Rabbi Ravua, what is the halach? Amalei. So he told him, Hachi Amar Rav, now Rav, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Wow! The halach like Rabbi Yossi, I don't even understand where Rabbi Yossi is coming from. Boston and Afku, after they left, Omar Lay, so Rav Huna says, now I'll keep my word. The Zman of the Shtar, that is the Hayoim equivalent. In other places, for instance, the Gabi Gittin, we said they were Misakin, a Zman in the Shtar. Number one, like we discussed the other day, also Legabi the case of our peiros, who owns the peiros, the nichsimalug, does it belong to the baal, does it belong to the wife? So it's important, we need to know certain deadlines, certain times. Over here, why is it necessary by a shtar matana, if I'm giving you a matana, and I'm handing over the shtar to you, why is it necessary to go and say, this man in the shtar? If you want a dafka proof, what was then? You could have two Edom watching, and you have two Edom signing. So why is the Zman so crucial? So Enechanami, it's not absolutely necessary to have a Zman in a Shtar Matan. It's certainly a good thing to have, because then we'll have a record, but it's not absolutely necessary. So therefore, the fact that there is a Zman, and he's saying, I'm giving you this item, the Achar Misa, and there's a Zman at the outset, so you interpret the Zman to be like a Mehayoyim, you combine that Le'achar Misa, and therefore Rabbi Yossi really holds just like Rabbi Yehuda, that you could give a Matan Mehayom Le'achar Misa, Mehayom it's going to be Nikna the Guf, and Le'achar Misa will be Nikna the Peiros. The only discrepancy that there is, the only dispute that there is, what is the text of the Shtar? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to throw in the word Mehayom. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's not enough, it's not necessary, since I have the Zman at the outset. Tanya Mihochi, I talk about Feirish of Raisa on point. Rabbi Yossi, Oyma, Einet Tzorech, you do not need to put in the word Mehayoyim, because it's readily apparent. After all, this is Man in the Shtar, I'm handing over the Shtar, Man in the Shtar, Mechicholov, that means Mehayoyim. And therefore, that's unnecessary. But otherwise, the Lomdus is exactly the same, and the effect is exactly the same. Only Machloikas do you need to add the word Mehayoyim.
And if, according to Rabbi Yossi, if they fail to date the shtar, that would be a fatal flaw?
A fatal flaw, because ain't shtar l'achamisu. Boi minei rova me Rav Nachman, b'haknoa mahu. What about b'haknoa? Now, what does he mean b'haknoa? So we'll see the Rishbam in a moment, that normally when you'd say a shtar haknoa means that the shtar itself is the mode of being makna, that this is the shtar kinyan itself. But says the Gemara, we'll see in the Rishbam, that's not the pshat. It's really ironic, but it's the other way around. Haknoa means that this is a shtar which is just recording a pre-existing or a simultaneous or concurrent kinyan which is taking place. Meaning a person is giving to someone else whatever he's giving, and he's giving it a kinyan sudar l'moshel. Now the purpose of the shtar is just to be a recorded document so that the person who received this matano or this mecher or whatever, he should have a piece of paper to be able to go and show everybody if they start asking questions. When did this happen? How did it happen? I mean, blah, 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 blah. Oh, look, nice, you say for the nechza, take a look at the piece of paper. But it's not a shtar haknoa that is being used as the mode of kinyan, the mode of acquisition, but rather it's a recordation of the acquisition that is concurrently taking place, or that took place this morning, or whatever.
In your language, you always call it a shtar raya, not a shtar kinyan.
Good, shtar raya. Thank you. Thank you very much. Shtar raya. So let's take a quick look at the Rishbam. Bakno'a mahu. You see about halfway down the lines of the Rishbam, the wide lines, bakno'a mahu, at the beginning of the line. Bishtar shekosuv boy kinyan. A shtar in which it's recorded that a kinyan took place. Mi palag Rabbi Yehuda matzrich lemechta me'ayoyim. Do you need to add that word mehayoyim? Umshem halchi kami boyalei. And the reason why we're asking this shaila, the ikala meimer to bishtar matana beloy kinyan pligi. Maybe the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in that mission is talking about a shtar matana where there was no other kinyan besides the shtar. Kigoin shekosav, that he wrote in the piece of paper in the shtar sodai or sodi nesunulach liachem misa. He left out the word mehayoyim. He just said, "I'm giving you the sod liachem misa." Umasalu yaseh shtar. And we have that famous rule, the karka nikna bekesef oy bishtar oy bechazaka. In such a situation, that's where the machloikis is. Do you have to put in the me'ayoyim or not? Because the shtar itself is the one that is causing the kinyan to be effected. And therefore, if the person is doing it when he's alive, no problem. That's why you have to write me'ayoyim. But if he doesn't write me'ayoyim, and he only writes liachamisa, since this is the kinyan, the shtar kinyan, not the shtar raya. Thank you. Shtar kinyan, it's making the kinyan. If the kinyan is only being effected and only being chal and only being done post-mortem after the person passed away, ein shtar lachamisa. That's why Rav Yehuda says, insists, put in the word ma'ayoyim, that we should be clear that it's happening from today. I'm giving you the guf from today. And Rav Yossi agrees in concept, yes, ma'ayoyim. He just said that the zman shtar is sufficient. The question is, what about a shtar that is not effecting the kinyan? It's a shtar shekosev by kinyan, says Rishbam. Is it essential there that you also have to me'ayoyim? Because since it's just recording a kinyan which has already taken place, or it's taking place concurrently through a kinyan sudah l'mashal, then l'choyre it's not necessary to say me'ayoyim, because it's happening me'ayoyim, it's happening right now. It's not that the shtar is effecting the kinyan, so you don't have to worry, ain't shtar lachemisa. The kinyan is being done today, and it's just the shtar raya that is recording what took place. So the question is, what would Rabbi Yehuda hold in such a case? Do you have to add the word mehayon? That was a shal that Rava asked of Nachman. Mal, sezoktimor omalei, pakno einitzer. If in fact a kinyan already took place, you don't have to write in mehayon, you can write in lachemisa, because after all, the kinyan already took place, and this is just recording what happened. Rapapi Omar, it depends what the Lashon is. Ika aknisa de tzarech, v'ika aknisa de loy tzarech. Sometimes a shtar, which is a shtar raya, requires me'ayoyim, and sometimes it does not. What give me an example. Aknaya v'kanina minei loy tzarech. Kanina minei v'aknaya tzarech. Now these are the same words, they're just in reverse order. Aknaya, v'kanina minei, and that's kanina minei, v'aknai. But there is a fundamental difference between the two, as Rishbam explains. Aknaya and kanina minei, when we say in the Gemara, it doesn't mean that it's written in one sentence. Aknaya is written at the outset, v'kanina minei, at the bottom of the shtar, shortly before the chasimois on the shtar. And the aknaya means that the Baal HaNechosim says to two Edom, do me a favor, aknaya, I am now instructing you, I'm asking you, please go and write in the shtar that you took a sudr in hand. I'm asking you to take a sudr in hand, lift it like they do always at the Kabbalah's Panim and Chasana, and bekoina these nechosim on behalf of Yankel or Beryl or whomever he stipulated in the shtar. So this is aknai, is really a request or instruction. And then at the end of the shtar, the chasimus ha'edim are the kanina minei. We followed the instructions and the request of the Baal HaNechosim, and we did it. The kanina minei. We taka picked up the sudr, and we were coined on behalf of Yankel and Sholem Ha'isa. In such a case, then you don't need to have any mehayoyim, because since it's recording, he asked us to do the kinyan, and we followed up and we did the kinyan, so you don't need the mehayoyim, because it happened today. And you have this date, the Zmanei Shoshtar Mechichalov, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree you don't need to have Mehayim. However, if it says Kanina Minei, Vaknaya, then Tzorech. Now this is in reverse. They're starting off the shtar at the very beginning. Kanina Minei. We went and we were koina these Nechosim from the Baal HaNechosim on behalf of Yaakov. Now you're probably thinking to yourself, chutzpah, who said that you should be koina? Did anybody ask you? Did anybody instruct you? These are nechosim that belong to the Baal HaNechosim. Yo, vaknaya. Yeah, we almost forgot. He instructed us to do so. Then tzarech, you have to go and add the word mehayoyim. Why is this any different than the first case? So the Rishbam explains, because any time you add additional words, then you're giving yipui koyach to one of the two sides. You'll recall early on in our Masechta, when a person goes and sells, for instance, a house, and in the basement of the house there happens to be a bor vedus, then normally I say the bor vedus is not included. It's not part of the essential aspect of the residence. Not included. Now the question is, do you have to now, the original mocher, does he have to pay for a derech to get to the bor vedus? We had a machlek between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim, whether you hold moicher bayin yofa, moicher bayin ra, moicher. But then the Mishnah, the Gemara said, that's only if the document was silent regarding the bor vedus. If he expressly wrote into the document, I'm selling you the house, chutz mi bor vedus, what do you need that for? Anyway, it's chutz mi bor vedus. Oh, by adding those words, you have yipui koyach, you've strengthened the hands of the moicher, and even a contributor kiva, you would not have to go and pay for a new derech, because that's what I meant. Chutz mi bor vedus. I was anyway entitled to keep the bor vedus. By throwing that in, I had added additional legal and financial rights, and that is, I don't have to go and pay for the derech. Aha. So now, having said that, getting back to our case over here, it says over here that if the person asked us to go and be makd on his behalf, and then at the end of the shtar we say, and we followed suit and we did that, that for kinyan minei really is not necessary. Why is it not necessary? Because since they are writing a document and they're saying at the outset of the document, Mr. Smith asked us to go and make a kinyan, and now we signed the bottom of the document. So what do you think? Do you think they did the kinyan? Do you think they didn't do the kinyan? Obviously they did the kinyan. Because if they didn't do the kinyan, then why would they be recording? He asked us to go and write and make a kinyan sudr and be makna these nechosim to Yankel or to Beryl. And now we sign on the bottom, Hakoshor Vakayim, they write the two names of the two witnesses. Now if they didn't actually do it, then why are they writing this? It's almost like a comic book. It's ridiculous. He asked us to do it and we're signing that he asked us to do it. So it's implicit that we followed and we did what we were supposed to do, v'kanina minei. So therefore the extra words v'kanina minei being that they are unnecessary, they give a yipur koyach to the shtar that they taka did it, and because of that yipur koyach you don't need the word mehayoin, says Rapapi. However, if it's kanina minei, they initially start off the document by saying, yes, we went and conveyed this property to Yankel based on a kinyan that we made. Now somebody will ask, and who asked you to do that? Oh, you're right. Vaknaya, because he instructed us to do it. Now, it's necessary to put the word vaknaya, because otherwise people think maybe you're ganovim, maybe you're gazlonim. Who gave you the right to go and do that? So that for, therefore, there is no yipui koyach by the repetition of the language. Therefore, tzarech, you have to put in the meyoyim after all. So now, this would seem to be very, very dakus. Dakus means it's very Talmudic hair-splitting, and therefore, be careful. If you're a soifer, if you write into the document, aknai v'kanina minei, you don't need mehayoyim. However, if you write kanina minei v'aknai, make sure you put in the word mehayoyim. So maskula Rav Chanina Misura. So Rav Chanina Misura now asks in wonderment, okay, we rabbis that are learning this in Beis Medrash, even all of us, we are not necessarily bikiyim in all of these halachas. Among the Talmid HaChacham, if you were to go and ask 100 rabbis, tell me, is there a difference between kanina minei v'aknaya, or aknaya v'kanina minei, legabi, whether you have to add the word mehayoyim or not? Do you think they would all be able to answer immediately on the spot? Many of them would have to say, I'm sorry, I've got to look it up. You know, I'm take out the Tshuvas, I'm going to look in the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to look in the Rambam, etc. And v'safri yadi, and you think the Sofrim, who are the scribes that write all these documents, you think they know this dakas, dikas, svora, and difference between aknayim, kanina minei, kanina mei v'aknaya? Zokti imora, shalnu l'safri d'abaya. They in fact went and put a sudden, unexpected inspection, survey of the Sofrim of Abaya. They knocked on the door. Yes, what would you like? We'd like to ask you a question. What type of question? Do you know the difference between Kanina, Menei, Vaknaya, Kanai, Vignina? Of course. Here you have to have Meyoyim and Viyana. They knew. And then they went across the street, Lusafi Durava, Viyana, and they knew. So you see that, don't think that this is the type of thing that people shrug their shoulders, who knows? No. The Sofrim, the professionals that had to be scribes, that had to write that, they knew the difference. Now notice that this difference is only according to Rav Papi. According to Rav Nachman, it makes no difference as far as he's concerned, since this is just a shtar raya, not a shtar kinyan, you don't need the mehayot. So the Gemara continues on. Rav Huna Bereid of Yeshua Omar, Ben Aknai V'Kanin Minei, Ben Kanin Minei V'Aknai, Loi Tzarech, you don't need to, again, because he's following the view of Rav Nachman, and not Rav Papi. Now, Ubeduchron Pizgomi Dehavid Anpona Pligi, where is the Machloikis, in fact, between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yoisi, in a situation where it's this Beduchim Pizgami, and this Pizgam, as you know, is like an edict. So he's saying this document is the one that is effecting the kinyan, the transaction in such a case. Then that's where we have the machlokes in our Mishnah. Do you need mehayoyim or not? Everybody holds that you have to have the concept of mehayoyim, because after all, just la'achar misa, ain't shtar la'achar misa. That's where Rav Yehuda says, put in the word mehayoyim. And Rabbi Yossi says you can rely on this man is a shtar mechiach olav. So that's where the machlokes is. But not in the case of a shtar hakno, which is just a shtar raya on any pre-existing or concurrent kinyan. Om Rav Kana amrita lishmaita kamen the Rav Zvid miner. Do I repeat this shtickle Torah? The Omali, atun hochi masnisulav. The way you've learned the Gemara until now was beautiful, but I want you to know, Anan, when we learned this Gemara, hochi masnisulav, we had a slightly different version. What was a slightly different version? How did we start off this whole Gemara? We had a Shaila Metaboy Minei. The Gemara asked, what's the din by the Hakna? If you go back about 10 lines, Boy Minei Rova Me Rav Nachman, Bakno Maul. So there was a Shaila asked by Rova, and Rav Nachman answered the Shaila. But Anan Hochim Asinullah, we didn't have a question and answer, but rather Omer Rova, Omer Rav Nachman, Bakno, Einit Zorach, Ben Haknaya, Bekanina Minei, Ben Kanina Minei, Bakanaya. So you're at both cases, loy tzarech. So it's identical to the first version, except it's not a question and answer. It's Rav according to Rav Nachman. Perhaps, it's not even that much of a different version. Maybe the second version is really based on later first on version. That once Rav had asked Rav Nachman, then he accepted that as the psak halacha. He didn't follow Rav Papi, he followed Rav Nachman. And now he's saying, this is Rav Nachman said, etc. Okay, well, my thing more doesn't go into that level of detail. It just says, the first version was a Shaila, and the second version is Rav Paskin like Rav Nachman, etc. And we finish off. Where is the machlech between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi? When this shtar, by Doichem Pizgami, when this Pizgam, this shtar itself, effects the kinyan, the Avban Pana that was in front of us, please, that's where the machloikis is, whether you have to add my yoim or not, but not by the so-called shtari hakno, which are the shtari rai. So with this, we have now completed the first part of the Mishnah, and as we promised, we're going to go back to the middle of the Mishnah, so go back to the third line where it begins, HaKoisiv Nechosiv Limnoi Li'achar Moisoi. What happens if a person, Taka, did this kinyan of Mehayoyim L'achar Misa, which we've been talking about? What happens now? So after he gave that shtar to his son, what happens is now that there are two owners of the property. You have the owner who owns the title of the property, and you have the one that owns the income stream of the property. The father cannot go and sell the entire property, because after all, the gufa property doesn't belong to him, it belongs to his son. He cannot go and sell the whole thing, including the income stream, because income stream is in Birshus Ha'av. But Rishbam says, but they could get together and sell together as one to somebody else. They can call Yankel Smith and they say, Yankel Smith, I, together with my son, we both together own Bishutvis, this property. I own the income, he owns the title, together with son, that does Kamiyah. But each one individually could not effect a complete kinyan because he doesn't own the thing. However, what happens if, in fact, one of them did go and sell, and they tried to sell whatever they could? Mochar av mechurim ad shiyomis. If the father, for instance, sold what belongs to him, what is that? The income stream. Those payrois are sold until he passes away. Once he passes away, then there's nothing left for the lekeach, and therefore the lekeach knows that he's buying it on spec, if you will. He knows he's only getting
the income stream. Is somebody buying ksuva sisha?
Yeah, exactly. So that he can go and sell. So he cannot sell legamri everything, because he doesn't own everything, but he can go and sell that portion that he owns. And what portion does he own? He owns the income stream, and that would be achiyomis, until he passes away. Fine. Mochara ben ain lelekeach ben klum achiyomis a'ab. If the ben sells, what does he have? He only has the title to the property. having title to property and you have no income from the property is really worthless. So ein lekiach ben klum, the lekiach can't do anything with the property at yom ha'av, because anything that he does with that property could tamper with the income stream. The income stream doesn't belong to him, it doesn't belong to the ben, it belongs to the av. So he basically just, he'll be the great king that he owns this huge amount of real estate, but he has no handoff from it all until his father passes away. But obviously what the Mishnah is telling us is that if and when the father does pass away, a year later or 20 years later, at that point, since the ben sold to him the guf hakarka, and since now the father passed away, he's now going to get both. He'll get the guf that he had all along, at least in title, and now he'll get the nechosin, he'll get the peiros as well, since the father passed away. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. The question of the Gemara is going to focus on this last case, where what happens if, unfortunately, the son predeceased the father. In other words, the son wanted money, so he went over to Yankel Smith. Yankel Smith, I'm selling you this property, but you should be aware of the fact that you're not going to get any income stream until my father passes away. I only have the gufa karka, he has the papers. Yankel Smith says, fine, I know that's not a very valuable piece of property at this time, but it has the future value, and that's fine, I'm willing to go and buy it at a big discount, blah, blah, blah. Fine. So now he owns the gufa karka, waiting until the day that the father's going to pass away, and then he'll get bakal mikol kol. Not only will he have the guf, but he'll also have the papers. Guess what happens? Unfortunately, the son predeceased the father. Now the question is this still a valid sale, so that when the lekech ultimately passes away, not the lekech, when the av, the father, ultimately passes away, will the lekech now be able to go and say, okay, now I have both the guf and the income stream and the payrois? Or do we say that the son was only able to go and sell it as long as he was alive, but once he passed away, his whole right to the property, he never completely received the property, because he only got the title to it, but he never got the payrois. That being the case, maybe he didn't even have the legal right, or at least the legal authority, to go and sell it to anybody else. I mean, not that he sinned in any way, but it didn't belong to him. Well, only the title belonged to him.
It's like a woman not getting her ksuva. Then it's really parallel to a woman in ksuva, because the woman never got the ksuva, the property, to be able to convey it. She simply sold an option, a call option on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and yeah, there's even, yes, what would you like to say?
No, I'm saying, but why would it go to Yerusha? He has the property. Maybe Troy, maybe it's on Muxa. Mm-hmm. But he has the property. This is a shard.
Lokeach, you told me Lokeach.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm saying this, the son has the property to convey to the Lokeach. Right. He dies.
Right.
His Yorshim can't get it because it's pre-sold.
No, but I'm saying whether he's there or whether his Yorshim stand in his place, it still belongs to the Smith family.
Right.
And
descendants of John Smith.
And they sold it to
Bell Jones
family, to the Jones family.
They didn't sell it after the son passed away. The son sold it, and then he passed away.
Right, exactly.
The question is, now the recipient, the Lekech, who's waiting now, and not that he's waiting with great expectation, but whatever, until the father passes away, and at that time he's expecting to get the whole thing.
Right.
But unfortunately, before that, the mocher passed away.
How can he not get it?
How can he not get it?
Right, okay. the whole sale would be a fraud then.
But you understand, that's the shayla.
The whole sale.
Understood.
It
wouldn't be a fraud if he knows that that's halacha. That's part of his futures that he has to realize. It's a possibility that the father's going to die, the son's going to die, and he has to... His lawyers will have to educate him what the real, true futures value is of this property. Now, as we'll see on the Amud Beis, this is going to focus on one of the classic machlokes in between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If we're going to go and say that the right to the payrus, which the father retained for himself, that's like the kinyan aguf. I mean, he's the real owner of it. Yeah, that's what he gave to the son. That's all a mirage. It's a legal fiction that we needed to do, because he wanted to ensure that those kids get it, but it really belongs to the father because he's getting the income stream. If that's what you're saying, then it's kinyan apeiros, ki kinyan aguf dami. The son didn't have anything to sell, so he had to sell the futures, but he never got the futures because he never got the apeiros, and therefore he was not legally...
Sold a bag of air.
A bag of air, good. That's one way of looking at it. Or you can go and say, can you pay us now? Can you know me? It's just... temporarily, the income stream belongs to the father, but the real McCoy really belongs to the son. Oh, if it belongs to the son can sell it, and even after he passed away, the goof belongs to John Smith, or wherever it happens to be, and then when the father passed away, he'll get the additional income stream. So that's basically the shaila of the Gemara. Itmar, final line at the bottom. Mocher ben b'chaye av. Umeisa ben b'chaye av. What happens now? Zok the Gemara, Amr b'yoychanan, loy kana l'kayach. Meaning, says the Tap Rashbam, afilu l'kishiyomis av achar kach. Even when the Av passes away subsequently, the Likiach does not get anything. Because since the Ben predeceased him, so then the Ben was never destined to become the real full owner of this property. And therefore, it'll go back to the Arusha of the Av as if this Shtar didn't even exist.
And the receipts, the funds that the Ben got for selling the property. So they get twice. They get double.
Yeah, but that's his Yorshim. Those are the father's Yorshim. Here we're talking the Shar Yorshia Ab, and this would be the Yorshia Ben that you're talking about.
I see. Which could be our brothers, uncles, whatever. Okay.
Exactly. So like Konalikiach, Rish Lakish Amar Konalikiach, and the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yochanan Amar like Konalikiach, Kinyan Peyrus ki Kinyan Guftami, and so therefore the father's Kinyan Peyrus, that's the real Makori. He's the one that really owns it. The son never really owned it, even though he had title, and therefore Chas V'Shalom when he passes away, then that title does not go to the Lakiach, but rather reverts to the original father. And when the father will pass away, it'll go to his Yarshim. Like Rashbam said, Rish Lakish Amar Konalikiach, Chas Kinyan Peyrus, Lav ki Kinyan Guftami. I'm the real owner, says the son. And therefore, we're just waiting temporarily until father passes away, waiting patiently. However, the Maisa I own, and therefore I sold what I owned, and now the Lekech owns it. Now the Lekech will just wait instead of me until the father passes away, and he'll get the pairs. Frank Timar, if that's the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, did they really have to focus on our fact pattern? After all, we've learned this already in the past, in many other cases, but in particular, in the case of Bikurim, Vafligim Babachad Zimna. What did we learn? Maseches Bikurim, state on the Itmar HaMoiches Adei LePeiros, a person sold his field in Eretz Yisrael, just for Peiros, he kept the title to himself, and for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, he sold the Peiros, the income stream, to other people. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, now that other person, the Lekech, Baruch Hashem, worked in the field, produced nice payrays, he's going to have a beautiful income stream, and guess what? It's a mitzvah bikurim. So what happens? Does he have to bring bikurim? Yes or no? So everybody agrees that maybe he has to bring bikurim. The question is he kore? Is he kore those psukim that you have? Exactly. What's the shaila? Rabbi Yochanan Omer Meiv Kore, Rish Lakish Omer Meiv Ena Kore, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Meiv Kore, Kasava Kinyan Peiros Ki Kinyan Guftami. So what does it have to do with anything? So Rishbam says, because when he's Kore, he has to go and say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hu Adama Asher Nosata Li Hashem, the Adama that you gave to me. Did Hashem give him that Adama? It depends. If you say that the Peiros Ki Kinyan Guftami, yeah, then I own the land. I only own the land for purposes of and limited to and restricted to the income stream. But lamais, I own a piece of the Rock of Gibraltar in terms of the payers that are coming in. So I can say, I can be maybe bekoire. Vishlakasham maybe ain't a koire. Because can you pay his lab king in a gov tummy? I don't have a piece of Adama. I just have the legal rights to receive the income for the next 5-10 years. So therefore, I cannot be koire. Why do both agree that you are maybe, says Rishbam? Because there's another pasik. And the pasuk says, that you're going to bring from your land, meaning land that in Eretz Israel, if you're going to go and bring bikurim, you have a mitzvah, it doesn't have to be a domo shesata li. It's tovim mi'artzecha. That being the case, everybody holds.
It's not the gavra, it's the chetzer.
Okay. Everybody agrees you have to be mevi, and machlokes you have to be koire. So the question is, why are we repeating this machlokes twice, both in the case of bikurim and the case here, nebuch of a father and a son, meyer melacha misa, etc.?
A very brief question.
Yes.
On this, is someone just renting the field? Does he maybe be Corey or not? Or is someone just a renter? Just a renter. He has no ownership of the field. He doesn't pay the real estate taxes. He's leasing. He's an apartment holder. If he's
just getting the payroll, what you doing?
No. He's renting the field
for what purpose?
For crop farming.
So he's getting the payroll. So
but does he call, is he maybe? But is he also Corey? That's my question. I'm asking very simply.
Maybe it's Yikaire. What you're really both talking about is it the form of the document or is it the substance of the document? Because one could go and rent a piece of property for 10 years, or you can go and say, I'm buying the piece of property for 10 years for purposes of the pay raise. Effectively, they're both exactly the same. The renting of the property, I get the express right to rent and work and do whatever I want in this property for the next 10 years, and I'm going to pay you every single year $100, $1,000, whatever it happens to be. Or you can go and say, I'm selling the property to you for purposes of the payers. After that, it reverts to me. You have the right to the payers for the next 10 years, and for that right, you're going to pay me every single year $100, $200. So effectively, it comes out the same. This is a sale. This is a rental. The question is whether, by calling it a rental, does that undermine the idea that it belongs
ownership,
to him?
Ownership, and therefore the requirement to co-rent.
Exactly. But in at least in concept, what you're really doing is the same thing. Every sale of payers alone is really a form of renting. So the Gemara says, why do we have to repeat the machloikis twice? Every time I'll tell you why. Like in the Sechtes Bikurim, and that's why maybe the Kaire. Right. Even though a normal situation of Kinyan Peiros is Kikinyan Guftami, and therefore the father or the original Mocher, he really owns the Peiros. However, since it's talking about a sale to his own son, he's willing to give him more legal rights and more financial interest than a normal arm's length transaction.
Because he's eventually going to inherit it anyway.
Exactly. Number one, and number two, because Lacha Misa is going to get the whole thing. He's giving him now the karka and eventually going to give the Peiros. So maybe the Gabi, the son, I would say that the father's ownership of the Peiros is undermined because of his own feelings towards his son. The feelings are, I don't really want the Peiros. I need the income stream because otherwise he can't live. But I really am giving to my son. Lock, stock, and barrel, he really owns the whole thing. That may be, if that's the case, I might have thought that if the son predeceases the father, that the Likeh would be able to consummate the transaction upon the father's passing, and then he'd get both not only the title, which he already has, but also the Peiros. Kamash Malan, no, even though the father has all of these psychological and emotional, sentimental affection towards his son and all the rest, but that it doesn't translate into money. In terms of money, Kinyan Peiros is one thing, Kinyan Peiros Kuf is another thing, right? It's not a monetary interest, it's a sentimental and it's an emotional thing, but etc. V'Reb Shimon Lokishama, Av Gavdi B'Al Mekinyan Peiros, Lav Kinyan Guf Dami. Normally by Bikurim, maybe the Ene Kore, because not Kinyan Guf. Hoch Itzrich, so Kedai Tachmina, Kol the Gabi Navshe, Afilim Amok and Bray, Navshe Adifale. Anytime that you're talking about a person for his own interest, a person, unfortunately, that's the way of the world, with the exception of the few tzaddikim sitting around the table, the brothers, Brother Shai, and Brother Ariel, and Brother Mendy, and Brother Barry, all of our good brothers, but most people in the world, unfortunately, are selfish. And since they are selfish, they're not selfless, they're selfish. Even if you're talking about his own son, who he's conveying the property, yes, my son, you're going to get it, but you're not getting it today. You're going to get it li'achar misa. So I would say, nafshi adifale, I would think, oh, it's still mine. Yeah, and my son is bragging that he owns the World Trade Center, Olav HaShalom, or the Liberty Tower, or whatever. Mazel tov. He doesn't get a penny from any of that. This is als kunish mit kunish. Really, all belongs to me. I'm the one that's getting all the rental payments. I'm the one that gets all the headaches. I got to go and pay the mortgage and the taxes and this and that and the other thing. So therefore, I would think that even Rish Lakish might agree here that the Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Guftami, and therefore it would stir if the Ben predeceased him, then I would say that the Lekech would not get it. Kamash Malon, no. Just like everywhere else, we say Kinyan Peiros Lavka Kinyan Guftami. Here too, Kinyan Peiros Lavka Kinyan Guftami. It's really the son that owns it and not the father. And therefore, when the son passes away, we can consummate and the Lekech can get the whole thing, both the Peiros together with the Guftami.
I don't understand the logic of that.
Of Rish Lakish or of Rabbi Yechon?
Of Rish Lakish. In other words, he sold the father. It's why she didn't give it. Now, I understand from Yochanan to say that he's the father is more generous for it.
Mm-hmm.
But here, the father, you know, quarter. We say lots of parents that I love to continue to do quarter slavish.
Mm-hmm.
What's the
father has retained the kidney payers.
The kidney payers. So why is it any different than any other case? What makes the father? But from Yochanan, I understand there's.
Be sentimental, emotional, etc.
Right, but I understand why it would make things better for the father, just because he's the original owner. It should be any different than a renter to a sharecropper or anybody else who works the land.
What is the halacha that Rish Lakish says? Since the kinyan of the father is a kinyan pays the lavki kinyan of Gufdami, so the real owner is really the son. So if the son sold it to a lekech, and then the son predeceased his father. This was a fine sale to the son. The son's sale to the lekech is also fine. And when the father passed away, then the lekech is going to go and get lock, stock, and barrel. Not only the kinyan haguf, but also the kinyan payers.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, when the son predeceases the father, the lekech is empty-handed.
Lekech is empty-handed. That's right. He has got nothing. And who does the money go to?
The yorshim of the father.
Not the Yoshin, the father.
The son dies.
The sale proceeds will go to the Yoshim of the Ben. The Ben is the one that sold it. He gets the sale proceeds. Vis-a-vis the eventual, the Karka, the Acher, maybe Esim, that's going to go to the Yoshim of the father.
Right.
Because he never conveyed it to the son.
And
the
Kech is empty-handed.
Kech is empty-handed. And his lawyers are probably telling him, I want you to know, that just like buying a Ksuva, you always have to know, is the father going to pass away? Is he going to pass away? Is she going to pass away? Is there going to be Nechosim at that time?
It's a call option.
Exactly. So all of this, Gamze Achnes Bekal V'Chomer, when you're putting together your projections, you have to throw this variable in as well.
Actuarial table.
Exactly. Anyway, so getting back to Brother Shai's question. So Brother Shai's question is, Rish Lakish over here holds that because Kinyan Peres Lavki Kinyan Guftam, so the real one that owns it happens to be the son. So therefore, when the son passes away, guess what? The Lekech still retains whatever the son sold him. And when the father will pass away, then the Lekech will get everything. Not only the Guf, but also the Peres. So what's the Chiddush over here? We always hold Kinyan Peres Lavki Kinyan Guftam. I would have thought that since the father, when he is giving these Nechosim to his son, he's really doing it only pro forma. He's not the kinyan payers lav nochmal kinyan payers lav kinyan aguf. I mean, that really over here kinyan payers would be kinyan aguf. Why would it here be different? Because the father really wants to retain it for himself. The only reason why he's doing this is because his estate planner, his lawyer, has told him it's a good idea to write me Misa, give him already the title now, and then you won't have to worry about taxes. You won't have to worry about your wife's tzuva taking away from
the other children competing for this choice property.
Exactly. So therefore, he's just doing it a performance, but he's really retaining it all for himself in this case. Even Gabi Bray, he's saying, my son, you know why we're doing this is because of estate planning and trust purposes, and da, 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 da. But really it belongs to me. And so therefore I would say that Rish Lakish might agree with Rabbi Yochanan that if the son predeceases, that here even Rish Lakish would hold the kinyan payers is kinyan aguf tami, and therefore when the son dies, chas v'shalom, predeceases the father, that the lekech is empty-handed and it all reverts to the father. Kamash v'lan, no, it's no different than any other case. In all cases, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish hold l'shitasam.
Tzricha.
That's why tzricha. That's why you need both. Good. Frank Timor, it's a kasha that Rabbi Yochanan is asking on Rish Lakish. Eisvei, and this is the famous case that we've discussed already a couple of times. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Nachsei Loch, a person says, I'm giving my nechosim to you, to Yankel, and Chas V'Sholem, after Yankel passes away, I don't want to go to Yankel's Yorshim, V'Acherecha, after you, Yirish Ploini, it should go to Beryl. And after Beryl passes away, V'Achera, Yirish Ploini, then it should go to Shmer.
You can cleanse it by using Matana, it's all Yerusha. You can't give.
We'll see in a moment. In the meantime, Nechseloch Yankel, after Yankel goes to Beryl, after Beryl goes to Shmer. Now, if things happen the way he anticipated, Meis Rishay, Koneshay. Meis Cheney, Koneshlishi. Exactly what he had said in the Shtar, and everything is fine. What happens if, unfortunately, the three did not do what they're supposed to do? And that is Meis Cheney, Bechay Rishay. The Cheney never passed away when the Rishon was still alive. So what happens now? So now, subsequently, of course, the first one passes away. So do I say that the nechosim will now leapfrog over number two and go to number three, because number two has passed away. Certainly not going to go to number two's yorshim. He never wanted it to go to the yorshim. Right. He said after the second one passed away, it goes to number three.
Right.
Now, since number two is no longer out, maybe from one it goes to three. Or maybe you say, no, now this whole chain, unfortunately, has been broken, and now it doesn't go to three. So what do you do now? It reverts back to the yorshim of the rishon. Since this whole chain has been stopped in the middle because there's no sheni, it doesn't go to shlishi, goes to yorshim rishon. Frayti Gemara asks now Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish. In each one of these cases, there's only been a conveyance of the peiros, and not been a conveyance of the karka, of the guf. Why? Because we say to the rishon, you play with it as long as you want, as long as you're alive.
You only have the peiros, you never have the kenyan.
Exactly, you only have the peiros, you don't have the guf. And therefore, according to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, the kenyan peiros, kenyan a guf dummy. According to Rish Lakish, kenyan peiros, love kenyan a guf dummy. So now, when the sheni passed away, before the rishon, and now the rishon passes away.
According to Rish Lakish, it should go to shlishi, because...
Or not go to Kodesh Shlishi, it should go back to the Yorshin Noisin Ribayla. It should go to the Yorshin the Noisin, because since we were not able to effect...
That the chain is envisioned.
As envisioned, so the whole thing broke. Don't go and give it to the Yorshin Rishon, give it to the Yorshin Noisin. Now, according to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense, because I gave him the Kinyan Peiroiz, since the chain has been broken, he owned the Kinyan Aguv, so he owned the piece of the estate over here, so now it goes to his Yorshin. But if you're going to go and tell me he only got this ephemeral, this temporary peiros, which is not kinyan aguf, so as soon as he passed away, the whole thing fizzled out and it goes back to the noisin. L'choy, that's what it should be. Amaleis Rish Lakish now responds to Rabbi Yochanan. Kvar tigmar Rav Oishi b'bovel, acharecha shani. Rav Oishi already learned this whole shtikl Torah in Bavel, and he said Acharecha is different. V'chein Rami Rava Ravuna Kami D'Ravi Omar Acharecha Shani. The why is that Acharecha Shani? Says Rishbam, because Acharecha means I'm giving you both the guf and the peiros. This will remind you of the famous story of the Sabta that
right,
we had.
Right,
that as long as that person owns it, he or she not only can get the income, they can even sell it. It's just if they do not sell it, and the property is still extant when the person extends in his possession,
away.
And that person passes away, then it's going to go to Shani, or then it's going to go to Shlishi, if everybody is doing what they're supposed to in terms of their passing. However, it's not that I just gave the peiros. Acharecha means I'm giving you everything. But just when you pass away, instead of it going to your kids, your Yorshim is going to go to Shani, and from Shani is going to go to Shlishi. Ah, so we're not talking about a situation of only giving peiros. We're talking about Taki giving gufa peiros. If you look at the right at the beginning of the Rishbam, Acharecha Shani, seven lines to the bottom,
yes,
Acharecha Shani,
the
Mashon, the guf, u peiros nasan the Rishon, he gave him everything. Oh, he gave him everything. So that makes sense. And if Chas V'Shalom, there's no Shani, and the Rishon passed away, guess what? Then Rishon, the Yorshi HaRishon are going to go and receive it, even according to Rish Lakish, because he didn't just give him peiros, he gave him everything. But there's another brisa. Yachsul Yorshin Noisin. The taka goes back to the Yorshin Noisin and not to the Yorshin Rishon. So to Matanoi, to Machlokes Tanoim, to be continued. Amir Hashem to tomorrow.